And welcome to Be Frank, the podcast where we dive deep into the mental health struggles of African men that are rarely spoken about. I'm your host, Frank Beecham, and I'm excited to start this journey with you. Hi, everybody, and I'm glad to have you on this episode with me. In this episode, we are starting a new series in this month of April, which is the Be a Man series. With this series, we seek to redefine and reiterate the impact of the sentence or the statement of saying what be a man means or what it does to us men. But we're not just mention the negatives, we are mentioning the positives of what it will be to redefine this phrase and what it actually means to be a man. So let's lock in. So the phrase, be a man, this is something that has been echoed through generations, from fathers to sons to mothers to brothers and partners to friends. But what does it really mean? What does it truly mean to be a man? Well, that's what this episode is about. That's what this whole series is about. And we are going to look at the silent demands of what this stoicism and strength to the subtle pressures of providing and protecting. We will also dissect how these words can sculpt and shape us as men and form our identities. So as you all know, I like to start us off with a story. Imagine Kwame, which is one of the characters in this story. Kwame is a young man who has always been told by his father to man up, which is also a directive for him to mask his emotions and push on and soldier on. Then there's his friend Kojo, who has a partner who's always whispering in his ear, be a man, urging him to fulfill unspoken financial burdens. And then let's not forget their boy Ebo. Ebo is someone who sees his own worth through his mother's eyes, and he's constantly striving to live up to an image of manhood that feels both foreign and familiar. Through their stories, we see how society's expectations pour into the very marrow of our being as men, often leaving us little room for vulnerability, fear, or uncertainty, which are emotions that are deemed incompatible with the traditional definition of manhood, especially in an African household. So, what's the background of all of this? This no one really knows where this blueprint came from. The mandate to be a man has roots as deep and widespread as a baobab tree, and it spans across cultures, not just Africa. And yet in its vastness, it carries a weight that often presses down on the shoulders of many, such as us men. But where did this thing come from, like I asked? And at what cost does it come to the mental and emotional well-being of individuals and societies? Going into the depth of the matter, I was doing some research, you know, trying to understand where this came from, its implications and whatnot. And I realized that research, like I showed, indicates that men grappling with traditional gender expectations are at higher risk for mental health issues, including depression and anxiety, and they are less likely to seek help. And for instance, our global survey that I read online pointed out that nearly 40% of men refrain from talking about their feelings to avoid appearing unmanly. And not just that, I also read, and this is from the National Center for Biotechnology Information, So you can also look it up for yourselves. I also realized that so many men actually make up the suicide rate, which I have always been pointing out. And I think it said there are certain mental health outcomes that have a much higher prevalence in men. And the North American research consistently indicates that men make up around 75% of suicide and 75% of substance abuse use disorder cases, which are called SUD cases. For me, it's not the fact that it's 75%, which is above 50%, which makes it significant. The fact that it's even 1% or even 0.1% makes it an issue that needs to be addressed. This brings us to the huge and pivotal question is, how do we apply this understanding that men are going through it, men are suffering, men are struggling, and how do we apply that and initiate change? Well, the first step is acknowledging the diversity of male expressions and experiences. Society seems to think, they really seem to think, especially our African aunties and uncles, seem to think there is one definition of a man, the one who provides and protects. I watched a comedy show, or I think a stand-up comedy, where the comedian passed a statement where he said, everybody else or everything else is loved unconditionally, which is women and children, but men are loved with condition. And it's very true in the African household. You have no idea how many men have had to resort to illegal means, or even had to borrow money, or even had to do unspeakable things just so that they can provide. This takes a toll on us men. What tolls does it take, if you may be wondering? Depression, like I mentioned before, anxiety. These are two big things that so many men are going through that they don't even recognize they are going through this. But also, one thing that so many people do not realize is the profound sense of isolation which lurks in the shadows of these expectations. The pressure to conform to a certain rigid mode of or definition of masculinity affects our mental health and strains our relationships and destroys our authentic self. There is a story that I came across which made me realize that as men, we need to be powerful. We need to stand true to who we are. If you're a man who loves cooking, dancing, ballet, do not feel that you are, you know, less of a man. And the story I came across is of a guy called David. He had so many older brothers. And if you're a guy, or if you're anyone who has like several older brothers, you can relate to this, that it is tough. Before I continue with, you know, David's story, there's this viral video of, you know, a young boy who called the police because his Fortnite friend, someone he was playing games online with, was, you know, seemed to have been abused by her ex, or looked like she was being abused by her ex. And, you know, he was worried, so he called the cops. And his brothers were just clowning him. His dad was mad at him. And everyone was making this boy feel bad for actually doing what he thought was right. Hypothetical situation. What if the girl was actually being abused? Would he not have stood up? This is a young man with a pure heart, but the men around him have made him feel stupid for even wanting to help out. We don't realize how we impact each other, men. We don't realize that by mocking us, by laughing at us, by teasing each other, we think, oh, as men, you know, we clown each other and we, you know, we take it and we move on. But what we don't realize is that some of the words that we say stick with us after we break off. But that's a good segue into David's story. David, against all the odds, against all the brothers that he had, against his father not even believing in him, faced the biggest issue his community was facing, and he overcame it. When he attempted to go face this issue, his brothers told him, one of his brothers actually told him, "What are you doing here? Who are you? Who do you think you are? If I couldn't overcome this, even daddy is not here to overcome this, what makes you think you will overcome it?" And I like to say this, that we do not realize that the words that we say to our children or our siblings sets the stage for a generational curse. Some fathers feel like because they had to, you know, go to the farm, they had to do XYZ, their kids have to do XYZ. I am talking about be a man, but I want to, you know, branch off and go off on a little bit of a tangent and advise parents, do not put your expectations on your kids. Where you failed in life, and I'm calling it as it is, the fact that you failed at something does not mean that, one, your child has to, you know, do the same thing, or B, your child cannot surpass that level. So many fathers were not allowed to cry. I'll say in my generation and the generation before me and older, they were not allowed to cry. They were not allowed to say, "I love yous," nothing of the sort. And so that same limitation David's brothers had, that David could not also overcome the issue. But you know what David did? David said, "I'm going to still go." And then there was another man, who know, a very big man, very well-respected man in his community, who said, "Okay, if you're going to go regardless, take my resources." I'm not saying that don't accept help from people, but sometimes understand that you are enough. And you don't need so much from everybody. You just only need the support and the words of encouragement. So David did not take, you know, this man's money. He didn't take this man's, you know, clothing, nothing. He went in to face a problem. And his victory wasn't just in the defeat of this giant of a problem, this Goliath of a problem. His victory was in his courage to stand true to himself despite societal expectations of strength and warfare. David, like many men today, are called to confront the Goliath of traditional masculinity. And we are armed with the stones of authenticity, vulnerability, and emotional courage. But do we use these? No. Society has made us feel it is wrong to use these. I can bet you that so many men have been, or so many fathers have told their sons, and vice versa, "I love you," very few times. And we wait until we're 6 feet under before we give a man his flowers. Sometimes people think that men should be able to just say how they feel or be who they are. This phrase, "be a man," has been something that has made so many men not be able to stand true to themselves. One truth of mine is I love cooking. And if you could catch me in an apron, you will. I love cooking. I'm not too big on sports. I love reality shows. And recently, I would say I've begun liking telenovelas. But, you know, it's not, some people say it's not manly. But, hey, what do they know? I remember that some time back when I was younger, I had people telling me that am I even a man? What kind of man doesn't really know sports facts and stuff? But the truth of the matter is, I'm not a huge sports person like that. And it didn't really faze me until that phrase was used when I was being told that I did not have the physical structure of a man, you know, the height, the chest, the abs, all of the above. And that built, and here I am going to be very vulnerable with everybody listening to me, that built a huge sense of insecurity for me, that I was being compared to so many other men who were defined as a standard of good looking. And that's where the statement that I heard comes true, which is that if a part of you does not believe that you've fallen short, what other people say will not faze you. So sometimes maybe we have internal struggles that we are fighting or battling with that nobody really knows. And that's because I have also been battling with that. I have been, you know, trying to put on weight. I bet there's so many people out there who can relate to this. I have been trying to put on weight. You know, I eat like crazy. I remember in high school, one of my friends was telling me that, wow, like life is unfair, that I can eat all of this and not put on a single weight, but when he just breathes, he gains weight. But this same friend who made that statement also stayed true to himself. Let's just call him Jay. Also stayed true to himself and worked out and achieved what he wanted to achieve and lost all his weight. So he serves as an inspiration to me that I can be what I want to be and be who I also want to be. This whole To Be Frank podcast came about just because I wasn't being allowed to be emotional. I wasn't being allowed to be vulnerable. It didn't make any sense to me that I didn't have a voice to, I didn't have a space or a voice to say, this is how I feel. But I just had to take what everybody else was saying and be a man, tough it out. Well, that's not the case anymore. To Be Frank is pushing to redefine what it means to be a man. I say it's easy, you know, to hit the gym and forget about your problems. I say it's easy to make all the money in the world and provide for everybody that you love and see them happy. It's easy to do all of those things. It's easy to lose the weight. It's easy to, you know, do everything. But the question is, did you really stay true to yourself? Did you really do what you wanted to do? This past week, I've been saying to some friends who call me and say, not to be a man, not kiss. Because it's a struggle to be a man. I mean, I'm not saying it's not easy. It's easy being a woman, but it's a struggle for us as men. Because even when we are giving you everything in us and everything that we can, you don't know the emotional struggle so many men go through in order to just provide. Hence why I say, why give him his flowers when he's 6 feet under? Why not give him his flowers while he's still alive? The be a man phrase has been something that has shaped so many men to not express themselves, to not even, and that's the whole point of this podcast, or this episode, is so many men have not stayed true to themselves because they've had to conform to a rigid definition by our society of what it means to be a man. Take a second today. Ask yourself, do I know what it means to be a man? After that, I want you to ask someone or a man in your life, ask him, what does it really mean to be a man to you? And as a man, what does it really mean to be you? and ask him if there's any dreams or aspirations that he has tried to pursue, but just gave up on those dreams just so that he could provide for his family or just so he could be a man. In talking about that, I want to slowly bring this episode to a close, but not without saying that on the journey to of doing things and staying true to your authentic self, there's a page on Instagram that I came across that has really inspired me, that continues to inspire me and helps my mental health. I will put it on my Instagram. I'll be posting more of their stuff on my Instagram, which is my Instagram is to be frank podcast. And this page that really helps me is called the Mental Protection Program, TMPP. And to find them on Instagram is the dot mental protection program dot underscore. In case that's too long for you, I'll post them on my Instagram. I'll post them on my Snapchat so you could access their page. They started a program called the Active April 2024 Challenge, which I have already started doing. And I feel, some form of relief in my mental health journey. So I want you to join me on this Active April 2024 challenge and, let this be a journey of staying true to yourself. If you like listening to Taylor Swift songs, go crazy. If you like listening to worship, don't let anybody shame you for that. If you like cooking, baking, creme brulee like it was set in High School Musical, go crazy. Do that for yourself. Live and stay true to yourself. Be like David and conquer the Goliath in your life today. So I want to say, remember that redefining manhood is a journey and not a destination. Let's push on because this requires courage, patience, and persistence. And the chains of traditional masculinity can be heavy, but I'm telling you guys, they are not unbreakable. So I say this, that to be a man is to be human with all the complexities and contradictions that come with it. So let's do this journey together. Let's challenge the old, embrace the new, and build a world where everybody and every man can truly be himself. Thank you for joining me on this first episode of our series. Stay tuned for more insightful discussions as we continue to break down and reshape the definition of manhood and to be a man on this podcast platform, To Be Frank. Until next time, be kind to yourself and dare to redefine what it means to be a man. And don't forget to participate in the Active April 2024 challenge by the Mental Protection Program on Instagram. Send me your feedback. Send me how you're doing. Let's be each other's accountability partners. And let's proceed on this journey to a better mental health. Thank you and have an amazing day.